Mike and Trisha Mornings Podcast. Real, live, local.
Chucky C's for my birthday. He's blowing out birthday candles today.
Okay, you have this 68-year-old actor who was American Gigolo. He was the hottie in Pretty Woman.
Mm-hmm. I loved him in Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride,
Officer
sure.
and a Gentleman.
Officer and a Gentleman.
Because we're talking about Richard Gere, right?
Of course, yeah. Boy, I saw American Gigolo the other day, and it was it did kind of hold up. But I mean, all the car phone reference, you know, there's all these things, and you're going, wow, yeah, really? We were so impressed with that stuff.
I know.
Oh my God.
Back then, we expected to be in flying cars by now.
Oh yeah. So yeah, car phone. Everybody was like, ooh, he's got a car phone. Wow. And then you also show you were there this 46-year-old actor who, are you understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Oh, wow.
I love that guy.
Yeah, that is his claim to fame. That would make him Chris.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Tucker.
I love that guy. He's hilarious.
Like, he did like 10 of those movies.
Yeah.
And then he went underground. And then like the next time I saw him was in Silver Lining Playbook.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was like the best friend of Bradley Cooper's character.
Yeah, he was.
And then he's gone underground
again. Yeah.
And last I heard, he was working on a couple of sequels. He was working on another Rush Hour sequel.
No.
Yeah. And then there's also talk of a sequel to the Friday movies with Chris Tucker as well.
That's
I know.
Right.
So he just keeps going back to that well.
Hey, you know what? As long as it works.
Right? Okay. All right. I think you missed one.
Which one?
You missed one. And I bring this one up because I can't, like, back in the 80s, mm-hmm. the late 80s, and even into the early 90s, there were a lot of little girls who used to dress like this singer,
mm-hmm.
Who went by the first name of Debbie.
Oh, Deborah Gibson.
And then she got older, and she's like, call me Deborah.
Right, exactly.
And now I believe she's gone back to Debbie.
She has gone back to
right?
Debbie.
Yeah. So cue the Debbie Gibson music.
Shake your love. Shake your love.
Uh-huh. Shake your love. I just can't shake your love.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I could get my Debbie Gibson on for
you
real.
You totally can.
Yeah.
If only we had cameras in here, I should have gone live Facebook Live with this one. Darn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The only thing missing was a... Only because a Michael Jackson he is good anywhere. You know, if it's an up-tempo song, just throw
you
in a he every
there,
now and
yeah.
then. And it sounds even better. Listen. And I'm sure we all knew at least one girl, or knew of at least one girl in school, who had that Debbie Gibson look.
Oh,
back then.
Totally,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God.
Kiss FM. And now it's time for
three things you need to know
this morning.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, first thing you need to know is that whole anti-sanctuary bill where it was going to give police officers the chance to ask for your immigration status during, you know, certain stops, that's not going into effect. It actually was signed into law, but a judge now says it's unconstitutional and it will erode public trust and make communities and neighborhoods less safe rather than safer. So for right now, that's not something you have to worry about. The second thing that you need to know about today is Bob Stull, mm-hmm. the athletic director at UTEP, been there since 1998.
As
the athletic director.
Because he was the head coach before that then?
Yeah, 1998. Oh, wow. He's going to retire.
No.
Yeah. Oh. He's 71. He says, look, I've got grandkids in Missouri. I only get to see them like 3 times a year. That's not enough for me.
Right.
And he's like, it's time. I've been here long enough. I've done what I've wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to retire.
I think everybody who runs an athletic program, that is their goal, is to have decades of losing seasons.
Oh, wow.
So I'm glad he's accomplished what he set out to do.
Well, you know, I didn't want to say anything, but okay, I'll let you say it. And then the other thing you need to know about is there was going to be a preseason game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans. Well, they've canceled that game.
Aww.
And there's not plans for it to be replayed.
Yeah, well, it was just a preseason game.
Because it was preseason.
And they do it every year.
Yeah, and so they said, yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
We need to be in Houston and helping out more than we need to be playing a game.
Yeah, because originally at the beginning of the week, they had moved it from Houston to AT&T Stadium in Dallas.
Right.
Yesterday, though, the decision was made to just cancel it altogether because the water in Houston is starting to recede and people are starting to go back to their homes.
Right.
And the Texans wanted to be there to help out their community.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
It's a preseason game. It's not that big of a deal anyway.
And the Cowboys were like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's all right.
That's excellent.
So there's still going to be some football on TV, I believe. And I think it's also going to be broadcast. I believe the Cowboys will be scrimmaging against each other.
Oh.
And then they're also going to be doing some other kind of fundraising stuff as well.
Oh, well, that's cool.
So that they can send that money to Houston relief efforts.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
Check with your local Fox station. But I think I read yesterday that they were still going to do a couple of hours of something on television from AT&T Stadium.
Well, good, because, you know, I know how you people get. You get antsy and jittery when there's not Dallas Cowboys playing.
Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. Three things you need to know, three things people are talking about today. Let's go to Hollywood. Let's get caught up in what's been going on in Tinseltown. Here's Trish with today's Hollywood Dish.
You know, we all know that Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are dating each other, right? They're together. He's, you know, he's hanging out with her kids. They're having a big old time together. Everything's cool, right? She's pregnant, dude. She's so pregnant. Oh, my God. I've seen these pictures, right? They were at this, like, trampoline park.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, she didn't get on the trampoline, which people who work there say, oh, she always gets on the trampoline. So we were kind of surprised that she didn't. Number one, okay? Number two, she did the whole, oh, look, I'm carrying a gigantic handbag and I'm covering up my belly. And she's got a sweatshirt tied around her belly.
Oh, see. And I was just about to pshaw you, you know, for even pretending that this is Hollywood dirt.
Uh-huh.
Based on photos that you've seen. But all of those are so stereotypical of celebrities who are trying to cover up a pregnancy.
So stereotypical. And, you know, Gwen, man, she's like as big around as your finger.
Yeah.
She's little teeny tiny.
Uh-huh.
And you see the picture of her with the thing around her waist, the little sweatshirt tied around her waist.
Uh-huh.
Dude, your girlfriend didn't have a big hamburger or a big lunch, you know.
So it's not
pregnant.
A food baby. It's a real baby.
It's not a food baby. That girl is going to have a baby.
It's a Blake fetus?
It's a Blake. Blake baby.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So, yeah, Blake's going to get his first kid.
How about that?
And she's going to get her fourth because she has three boys.
Isn't that what he always wanted? Wasn't that an issue with his first marriage?
He wanted kids.
And Miranda Lambert wasn't ready for children?
Yeah.
Wasn't that part of the
issue?
That
was part of the issue.
Or am I confusing him with other
celebrities? No. That's what they've said. That she said, you know, yeah, I mean, we were all in different areas of our lives and I wasn't ready to have kids yet.
Oh.
So, yeah. Girl's gonna have a baby.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
And she looks cute.
Not official, though. This is not official. It's just our trained eyes.
Pure speculation. But if you've seen the pictures.
Speculation at its best.
Yeah. If you've seen the pictures, you know girl's hiding something. She's got that whole big. And the funny thing is that, you know, like if you're going to carry a big bag, at least pretend like it's got something in it.
Yeah.
It just looks like you're carrying it around Target as you're getting ready to go buy it.
Right,
it's flat
right.
as a pancake.
Yeah.
And she's just like hugging it up against her body. Girl. Come on.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to keep our eye on this story then. Just to see if, you know, Trisha nailed it just based on pictures.
Imagine
the possibilities if this is like one of her superpowers.
I know. Well, I've only been wrong once, and that was with Jennifer Aniston a couple of months ago.
Oh, that's right.
I've only been wrong
that
once. That turned out to be a food baby.
Okay. Hey, so I just checked our local Fox station's TV schedule.
Yeah.
Because they canceled the Cowboys-Texans preseason game.
Right.
Not to worry, they're going to show a college football game.
Oh, hooray.
Yes!
Boy, phew! Thank goodness.
And check it out. Today, high school football starts in El Paso.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay.
You know what that means.
What does that mean?
Let's break out. The football season has begun. Goof Song on Mike and Tricia Mornings.
Goodbye to you, my darling spouse. You won't be seeing me around the house. Now that football has resumed, I'll be down in the rec room to see who is beating whom. Goodbye, my wife, the kickoff's near.
My God.
And I just bought a brand new case of beer. You won't see me for 5 whole months. I'll be downstairs getting drunk.
And that's different how?
Watching tackles, kicks, and punts. Oh, the joy, oh, the fun. Football season has begun. And I won't be seeing you till the season is all through. I will miss you with all my soul.
No, you won't.
But I'll return after the Super Bowl. I guess I'm just a football freak. For the next 21 weeks, come upstairs just to take leaks. No more light, no more sun. Football season has begun. When they run, when they pass, I'll be cheering, passing gas. Oh, the joy, oh, the fun. Football season has begun. So I thought you should know. You'll be a football widow.
How about this, man? High school football season starts today in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
There's games today. There's games tomorrow. It's football season, baby.
Oh, my God.
You know what that means. Pretty soon, bells will be ringing. 880-9393. Call and give us your best vocal impression of your high school mascot.
Okay.
Your best vocal impression of your high school mascot. For example, Tricia, your mascot is?
The Mustangs.
A Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your best vocal impression of a Mustang.
I don't even know what a Mustang sounds like.
Very good. Very good.
I tried. I'm
Tricia's
not good at
mascot
this.
Sounds like a perv motorboating.
It sounds like a horse going.
There you go. Much better.
I am not the woman of 1,000 voices, okay?
No, you're not.
And you guys blow away the Albuquerque stations, tell you that right now.
Oh,
thank
sweet,
you, Johnny.
Mark,
thank you. Let's see if you can blow away Tricia's Mustang impression, because, you know,
okay.
That's also Tricia's high school mascot.
Yeah.
Okay, Trisha, I hate to bring it to you, but here it is.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Very nice.
How's that?
Nothing like the sound of a Mustang having sexy time to start your morning.
I thought it was a Mustang taking a shot of tequila, personally, but okay.
I love it. Johnny, welcome to El Paso.
Thanks, sweetie.
All right. Thanks, guys. Kiss FM.
Hurricane Harvey, of course. A couple of Hurricane Harvey relates. The Cowboys and the Texans were supposed to play a preseason game today.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the week, they had moved it from Houston because it was supposed to be a home game for Houston. They had moved it to Dallas. But then yesterday, they decided to cancel it altogether when Tropical Storm Harvey now took a different path.
Right.
And so the rain stopped in the Houston area, and a lot of people were starting to go back home, and they decided that the players, you know, should be with their families, and a lot of their families had evacuated, and they're
mm-hmm.
all coming back, and, you know, a lot of, you know, how you've heard a lot of, you know, homes are inundated with water
right.
and stuff, and so the game was canceled altogether. Now, last I heard, the Cowboys were going to play a scrimmage game. You know, this is when, like, the offense plays their defense.
Right, exactly.
And they were going to televise that. Last I heard, I think it's still on for 6 o'clock tonight. So if you want to get your Cowboys fix on, And it really doesn't matter to you what you watch, as long as they have a star on their helmet.
Right, exactly.
Then that would be the game for you.
And I'm trying to contact KFOX to find out what exactly is going to be happening. As soon as I can get them, I'll tell you.
All right. The second thing is we've received, a lot of messages and emails regarding, local help. And I've seen a lot of people ask, how can I help? How can I help? One way you can help, and you can get all the details on KissElPaso.com, El Pasoans Fighting Hunger Food Bank. They need volunteers. So if you can't donate for whatever reason,
right.
You just don't have the luxury of donating any money, or you would rather, do something physical, they're looking for people that can help them sort food.
Yes.
And so if you'd rather volunteer your time, they would love your help.
Oh, they absolutely.
Need a lot of people to volunteer the truckloads that they're getting from various companies that have donated all kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. As they prepare for any evacuees that we may get.
Right, because the city had said earlier in the week that they're possibly, maybe anticipating 1,500 evacuees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing about the city. They act like they're the Pentagon. It really hacks me off.
Yeah.
I have contacted the city because what we were thinking about doing was doing a food drive.
Yeah.
To, like, in anticipation of getting these evacuees, we're going to have to feed them.
Exactly.
We're going to have to, they're going to be housed if they come, they're going to be housed at the convention center.
Right.
And so we were like, okay, well, let's get a jump on this and get some food and some other things, together and hold a drive.
Right.
So what I wanted to do was contact the city and tell them what we were thinking about doing and tell them, hey, you know what, we're thinking about doing this drive. When should we start it? How can we coordinate with you guys? Because when you do a drive, it's always best to contact the people who are going to be doing it.
Yeah,
because
you need to know what they need exactly.
Sure, sure. And so I contacted them, and I got stonewalled. I'm like, okay, I'm not asking you how many people are coming in or when they're coming in or whatever.
Why wouldn't they even give you that number? See, I don't understand why they're being so secretive.
Dude, they wouldn't. Not only would they not give me a number, they wouldn't even confirm that we were going to get any. And I'm like, look, even if we don't get any, we have a lot of need here in town.
Yeah.
That's all those supplies and everything could still be absorbed by the food banks, by other shelters.
That was our thought
things
process.
Things like that. Yeah.
Whatever they need for the evacuees, they use whatever they have left over. We can use here in town.
Sure.
There's a need for food here in town as well.
Absolutely.
And the city wouldn't say boo about it.
They won't
say
anything.
I don't understand what they are so secretive for.
I have no idea.
Like, what do they think?
I don't know. They wouldn't even, it was running into such a wall. And I told them, look, I don't want to know who's coming. I don't want to know when they're coming. I just wanted to coordinate with you so that we could say, hey, you know what? Let's get this drive together.
Right.
If for some reason we don't get evacuees, we can still donate this, all this stuff.
Which is,
and nothing. They would give me nothing.
Which is so funny because, they do press conferences. They did two press conferences saying, big deal about how maybe we're going to get some evacuees. If so, we're ready to help. And then they stonewall us. They won't give us any answers. They act like, I don't know, like they're bringing in a bunch of, North Koreans or something.
And when they say we're ready to help, well, so are we.
Yeah.
So are we. And we would love to help.
Right, right.
But it's like, I don't want to, it's hard to get all this stuff together and then not know where to take it.
But they act like the villagers are going to harumph and, they're going to storm City Hall because we're taking in evacuees.
Yeah. I don't know what their deal is. But they were like, we can neither confirm nor deny that we're getting evacuees. I'm like, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you, hey, where can we take this stuff?
Yeah.
And can we say that we've talked to the city? No, you cannot say that. Oh, Christ.
And then the diocese is also acting like
same
that.
Same thing. I haven't even gotten an answer from the diocese.
And that is so like the city, to wait until the last minute.
Yes.
So they get all of these people and then suddenly they start scrambling for supplies.
Right,
and
exactly.
Start begging and pleading when all of that could have just been avoided altogether if they would just give us some answers and work with us.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't.
So we are still looking into doing a drive. And as soon as we can get the details ironed out, we'll let you guys know. Because we know our listeners are amazingly generous people.
Which probably won't happen until you know, the helicopters and the trucks start coming
in. And they're scrambling.
They're like, oh my God, we don't have enough blankets.
Exactly. So we're working on it, and you know, as soon as we can, as soon as we can throw that out to you guys, we will.
For now, El Pasoans Fighting Hunger Food Bank is, you know, operating on the premise that we are going to get evacuees,
right?
And so they need help. They need people to help sort all of the stuff that's coming into them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from all of these businesses, companies that have donated water and other supplies.
Sure.
So they need people to sort and to go through the food items. So if you want to volunteer your time, go to kisselpaso.com. There's a phone number there, and the person whom you talk to about volunteering your time to the food bank. Kiss FM. The El Pasoans Fighting Food Hunger Food Bank does need some volunteers. So if you know, if you want to give some of your time, they would love some help. They've got a lot of these 18-wheelers that are, you know, that are coming by daily that are dropping stuff off for them, because a lot of these big corporations have donated, you know, water, Gatorade,
right,
a bunch of stuff, right? All that stuff needs to be sorted, and so they need lots of hands for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to help and you want to volunteer some of your time, let me point you in that direction, the El Pasoans Fighting Hunger Food Bank. They could use your help. Go to kisselpaso.com, and there's a story there about the help that they're looking for, and there's a name and number there that you can call, and you can set up whatever time works for you. But, you know, they're working double overtime, man. They're working till, you know, late in the evening,
right?
And they'll even be doing stuff on Saturdays.
And, you know, this is a great way for your civic organization to get in community hours.
Oh, yeah.
Community service hours.
Sure, yeah.
This is a great way to do that.
Right. Or maybe, you know, you plea bargained. It's a good way to get in your community hours as well.
Sure.
You know, get your hours in.
And do some good.
So that, you know, eventually you can take that thing off your ankle. Or however it works. I don't know how it goes. But you're absolutely right. This is a good way. To put in some community time.
Wow.
Well, no,
I agree.
Yes.
Lord.
And so
you lawbreaker.
So, yeah, but you can still turn your life around.
It's true.
You know, you can do it. I know you can.
Wow.
So read the blog. Call the number. become a fine, upstanding citizen.
Sure. Instead of the citizen that you are right now.
Who knows? It could lead to tattoo removal and gainful employment.
Right.
So anyway.
And your mother won't cry every time she sees you walk in the door anymore.
And it's not too late for baby Jeebus to stop crying.
That's
either.
Right.
So anyway. Anyway.
Not that we're pointing any fingers.
So the other day we were, you know, discussing things that we can do, like a lot of people are, like a lot of businesses and organizations are. And we thought, you know what? Let's help out the food bank.
Yes.
Let's help them get stuff. They need stuff.
Yeah, because the city had said, look, we could possibly be getting 1,500 evacuees.
You remember? They had a press conference.
Yeah, and we thought, hey, you know what? We're going to need to feed these people and give them, you know, stuff because they've lost everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the article that I was reading that was originally published by the El Paso Times, the CEO of the food bank, Mr. Nevarez, was saying, yeah, we need, you know, we need volunteers, and we also, you know, we're getting stuff, but we could use more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, let's help them out. And so Tricia was tasked with calling the city and the diocese, because the diocese said they wanted to help as well, you know, in various ways. So she was tasked with making some phone calls. Let's find out, when do they expect them? When could they possibly be here?
How many?
How much do you think you're going to need?
Yeah, what do you guys think is the most need, the thing that you need the most? You know, that kind of stuff.
And all Tricia got was a bunch of no comments.
Oh, God. It was ridiculous.
Cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah, and we can't even say that, you know, you don't even say that you talked to the city about this. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Clearly you don't know me very
well. That's right. They did say that.
Yeah, they were like, you can't even say that you spoke to a city official. I was like, really? You think I can't say that?
As a matter of fact, we wanted to speak to somebody who was a Katrina evacuee who decided to stay in El Paso, and they were giving us a hard time about that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, oh, well, you can't do that.
Well, you can't ask him, you know, various questions, and, well, what do you want to ask him? And you know, we were like, oh, my God, you know?
We just want to find out. Look, it's got to be think about losing everything. We wanted to talk to somebody who did basically lose everything and has completely become part of the El Paso community.
Right.
And is working with El Paso Live. They're doing all this great
stuff. What
work.
Was it like, what you was know, it like to be an evacuee here? And sure. to lose every? But no. The city has stonewalled us at every turn, and I don't understand why. I don't understand why they're being so secretive after they hold this big press conference.
Right.
You know, if you can't confirm or deny that you're getting evacuees, why did you have the press conference in the first place?
Why did you bring it up?
We didn't even have to know that.
No.
We didn't have to know. We didn't have to know until you'd been at a press conference to say, hey, they're coming in today, guys.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is the last time this happened with Katrina, I was actually still at Channel 7. And, I mean, it was like, you know, this huge splash. We're going to get these evacuees. We need everybody's help, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, they were like, couldn't give us enough information.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, you know, zip of the lip, man. Nobody's talking.
Right.
You know, and we're like, you know, and
which
I'm
is
sitting
very
there.
Odd after you do a press conference.
Yes. Why would you put it out there?
Yeah.
There was literally no reason to put it out there. If you're going to tell us now.
You do a press conference and then you're like, can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Can't say anything.
Yeah. And it's
you
like,
never spoke to us.
I know. You can't say that you spoke to us.
Wow.
Oh, yes, I can.
Unbelievable how they're
so,
acting.
So, yeah. I know. And acting like idiots.
So what's going to happen is, now look, we have some unconfirmed reports that they've already reached out to Fort Bliss.
Right.
To house evacuees.
Yes. Well, yes, there's some other stuff that they're going to be doing. But here's the thing. We're going to get evacuees, okay? I don't know when we're going to get evacuees,
right.
But we're going to be getting evacuees.
Yeah.
And the city is the one that threw out this 1,500 evacuees
number. Right,
they're
the ones that threw out the number, right.
Okay, so here's the thing. We live in El Paso. I mean, let's be honest. We live 12 hours away from Houston, okay? It's hard enough as it is to get stuff to Houston. So let's work on making sure that the people who are going to be here from Houston have as much as they possibly can, and let's take care of them here in El Paso.
Yeah.
It's tough to get stuff done from here to Houston.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Plus, there's so many entities already that
there
are doing
are.
That.
There are. So and
many
everybody's doing a lot of work to get that
stuff.
Done.
Yeah.
And that's great, and because that's fantastic. But let's concentrate on the evacuees that we're going to get here. Because we're going to have to house them. We're going to have to feed them. We're going to have to clothe them in a lot of cases. They're going to need toiletries.
Yeah.
They're going to need all kinds of stuff. Okay? So let's do this. We're at 4180 North Mesa. Okay? Y'all know where we are. We're right off of Executive Center in Mesa. It says KISS KLAQ KROD out in front. Okay? If you want to drop something off for the evacuees, drop it off. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. It has to be something that's non-perishable.
Yeah.
Okay? And think about what would be the biggest amount of, the biggest bang for your buck. Okay? So we're talking like boxed pastas. We're talking about canned soups. We're talking about, you know, canned vegetables. Things like that. Things that can be put on a shelf and can be used for the long term. Because when these guys get here, it's not going to be a week of stuff. It's going to be months and months of having to take care of people.
Well, I think we should, you know, we should still consider working with the food bank to get stuff.
Because, no, absolutely.
Because typical city, they don't want to say anything.
Ugh.
And so then they're going to be behind the eight ball.
Yes.
Like always. Like
yes.
It's like they, with everything.
With everything.
Behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't talk about it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. We had a big press conference, but now we can't say that we did.
Yeah. And so we're really looking for non-perishable food items. Where if you, you know, let's say you go to the grocery store and you see, you know, 10 cans for $10 or whatever, get them. And then just bring them over here.
Sure.
And we'll make sure that the food bank gets them. And, you know, and then we'll keep you guys up to date about other stuff that needs to be,
right.
That needs to be gotten.
Yeah.
Cases of water, stuff like that. Anything non-perishable that you can think. And it doesn't matter how big or how little your donation is.
Yeah.
Because whatever we get, we're going to be able to help people out who are going to be coming here from the Houston area.
Right. Okay. All right. So, well, you know what? I think we should just start getting things together anyway,
I
regardless
so
of whether the city can talk about it or not.
I know, right?
You know.
So, yeah. So, I know that there are a lot of people out there who are like, I would really like to help. Give us a call here at 880-9393 and let's coordinate.
I think it's a win-win because if they don't need it for evacuees, let's say we do not ever get any.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All of that food stays here in El Paso.
It's still going to be used.
The food bank could use it
sure.
because people in El Paso are hungry every day.
Absolutely.
Kiss FM.
Joel Osteen is a pretty controversial character anyway.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a love or hate.
Any television pastor, right, any evangelist type of person is going to be a lightning rod for controversy.
Right.
But he started catching a lot of heat when people started tweeting out pictures of the church and wondering why, you know, they weren't helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had said earlier that, you know, they were going to close the church down because they had a lot of flooding and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, it became a huge controversy, and he was on the Today Show yesterday. I don't think he helped his cause when he tried to explain what happened. Here's a portion of that interview.
Our church doors have always been open. In fact, we took people in right when the water started to recede, which was just a day or two after the big storm hit. But we worked very closely with the city. 4 miles down the road, the city established its biggest shelter with, you know, with room for thousands, with beds, with kitchen supplies, with everything they need, security. They didn't need us as a shelter right then. And we coordinate with them all the time. If we needed to be a shelter, we would have certainly been a shelter right when they first asked. But once they filled up, never dreaming we'd have this many displaced people, they asked us to become a shelter. And we said, hey, we'd love to be a shelter. That's what Lakewood is all about. But I think if people were here, they'd realize there were safety issues. This building had flooded before. And so we were just being precautious. But the main thing is the city didn't ask us to become a shelter then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, that's what people glommed onto was that, okay, so you didn't do it because nobody asked you.
Why do you have to be asked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't have just taken it upon yourself.
Right, right.
So, of course, you know, now in defending himself, he started a whole new controversy.
Right, right.
You know?
You know, and the thing is that, I mean, I don't, you know, the guy, what can you do? I mean, here's the thing, though. If you're going to open up a shelter and there's potentially tens of thousands of people who are going to be in that shelter, you do have to be ready for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just like open the doors.
Right.
Because right, you have to think about, you know, restroom facilities.
Sure.
You have to think about kitchen stuff. Yeah. You have to think about right, where are they going to sleep?
And this goes
and
back
you
to,
do have to think about security.
This goes back to us reaching out to the city.
Sure.
To help them with any possible evacuees and them stonewalling us.
Right. And if the city is saying, okay, yeah, no, we don't need you yet.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for you to say, okay, then we're going to get ready for potentially tens of thousands of people. What happens if this never opens, if it's never needed?
Right.
Then you've got all these, you know, preparations and everything that are made and they go to waste.
Yeah.
You know, or they can use them eventually somewhere else. Sure.
Sure.
But I mean, in the meantime, you know, it's just there. It's a no-win situation.
Yeah. And I think that's the situation with Osteen and his Lakewood church.
Yeah.
He's caught in this no-win situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with social media.
Oh,
you know,
no, yeah.
You know, so he tweeted out pictures of flooding and stuff, and other people were tweeting out pictures showing no flooding.
Right. They were like, I'm walking right up
here. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know.
You know,
all I know is that in defending himself,
he
just started
worse,
a whole nother controversy.
Yeah. I just think that in a situation, I mean, think about when we had that big freeze for 3 days and the city was passable. I mean, you know, you could drive and stuff like that. But for 3 days, things started getting crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They started getting really crazy. People were getting into fistfights in Walmart over water.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, in a situation like this, so many missteps are going to be made unintentionally or intentionally.
Sure, sure, yeah.
You know, and there is no winning.
Yeah, but social media can be so unforgiving.
So ugly.
You've been listening to Mike and Tricia Mornings. For more, visit KissElPaso.com or download the 93.1 KISS FM app for free to your iPhone or Android.